Coming to you from the Coachella Valley in Southern California, in association with Anchor.fm, welcome to Is This Your Playlist? On tonight's episode, part 2 of Kedrick's chat with longtime friend, Gia Delegati, and more of their funny stories about their adventures in the early 90s in the UK and here in the US and what makes their almost 30-year friendship so special. My name is Joey and part 2 of this evening's playlist will begin, now.
Hey, playlisters, this is Kedrick. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Is This Your Playlist? Tonight, part 2 of my amazing conversation and storytelling session with my friend Gia on the Me and Gia Playlist Part 2. Before we get to that, I just want to say that I'm so grateful for 63 episodes. And also I want to say that it is actually my 2-year anniversary of the first episode of Is This Your Playlist, done 2 years ago with my first co-host, Stephen Michael. Thank you so much for your service. And I'm looking forward to some more chats. I'm looking forward to Risa coming back. I'm just very grateful for the podcast, very grateful for all my listeners, all my playlisters, that's what I call you. And so with no further ado, here is episode 63 of Is This Your Playlist? Playlisters, thank you for sticking with us here. My name's Kedrick and this is This Your Playlist, and I'm here with my greatest gal pal, Gia. She has joined me to walk down memory lane on this episode number 62 of Is This Your Playlist? And what I've realized after, like, you know, this is the 62nd episode that I've produced. This, I mean, that's absolutely insane for me. I want it to be everything. I want it to be whatever people want it to be. And I think, you know, with the passing of Reese's mom, and that it made me just think that, like, this podcast can be anything. It can be wellness. If music gets you well, and like, it's always been about stories with me. I mean, I'm very grateful and fortunate that I do have like a baby podcast, you know, called WOM World of Music. And you can find that on Spotify, and I actually get to play the music that I talk about. So that's like a separate, like, radio DJ fantasy come true kind of situation. But like, ITYP is the parent podcast forever. And I remember, like, people were like, well, what's it getting? You know, people want it to be one little thing. And it's just like, I want anyone to be able to listen to this and say, you know, ask, is this your playlist? Is this your playlist? Are you 14, 15, 52, 53, gay guy, white guy, black girl? I want it to be for everyone. And 2020 definitely, like, helped me realize that, like, this sort of thing, at least with me, it gave me something to do. I mean, you know, there was a little slip back into old behaviors, but that's cool now. But it's like, no matter what, the playlist, or, you know, the podcast is like, was something that I wanted to do forever. So that's why I did it. And I'm still glad that I get to do it. So that's why, like, it's always been about stories with me. And, you know, some co-hosts were better than others at stories. And, you know, I mean, Reese is the third one. And third time's a charm. Because she brings a sensibility to it that the other two did not have. And I'm very grateful for her. And like I said, Risa, if you listen to this, thoughts and prayers are out to you and your family. And I hope to see you again soon, really, really soon. So
the energy between you and Risa is just, it's wonderful. It's fantastic. I want to put that out there.
There's no, you know, the thing with her and I is like, they're really, is, and it wasn't like this with me and the other two, who, you know, I shouldn't even say that. Stephen Michael, he started it off with me, and I want to thank him for his service. Mark same thing. I want to thank him for his service. And just, you know, sometimes things don't work out. And Risa is just, she's different. She brings something to the table, and mm-hmm. she brings ideas, and she brings mm-hmm. just stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just love her to death. And yes. There you go. So that being said, you know, when I wanted to do something, you know, in her interim, you know, I mean, I don't even remember how I pitched it to you, but it was basically like, you know what, we have this story that we, I mean, listeners, we tell this story to each other probably every third time we talk on the phone. We'll just bring it up because it's just so, the stories are so, that it seems like they're over the top and like whatever, but they're not. And I mean, everything that happened sounds like a lot, but it wasn't. That being said, so I came back to England in November of 94 because EYC were doing the Smash Hits Roadshow and I wanted to see them. And I was on the plane with them. And we got off the plane and they were filming the Ozone, if anyone remembers the Ozone.
I do.
And they pulled me into the frame while they were filming and said, "Oh, this is Kendrick. This is the guy you write to." And it was cool. It didn't make it on the air, but they did it. So, and that was like, and so pretty much, I remember the lineup of bands. I was kind of like, well, E17, EYC, 2/3, Sean McGuire, Let Loose. Oh, Boyzone were up for new band. Deuce was up for new band. There was a band, Optimistic, that I had met in September. Bad Boys Inc. were going to be there. It was Ant Deck. And so I was going, and I prepared myself. So I had, you know, pinups or CDs or whatever I needed to do. So they did. So I was going to go to two shows. I went to Sheffield on the Saturday, and G and I and M, because I was staying with them, you know, we were up and I think we're having breakfast or something. So M goes in the shower and Gia and I were watching probably the Ozone or one of those Saturday morning, you know, TV shows. And they showed the video for Ant and Deck, but they were PJ and Duncan at the time. And they did a song called Eternal Love. And I didn't really like them at that point. I was kind of like, you know, I had something by them just to sign whatever. And so M gets out of the shower and she was like, "Oh, how is what's the video like?" And Gia and I looked at each other and then we looked at her and we're like, "Babe." Because it was so Take That, Babe. You know, because it was a slow song at Christmas, blah, blah, blah. So I said to Gia, I go, "Gia, hey, do you want to go to Sheffield with me?" And she was like, you know, she... she launched one of the famous sayings that she has. She goes,
"I've ever uttered."
She was like, she goes, "I don't even know any of these people. I don't even care." I mean, and it was just, she was so like, just, I mean, it was so matter of fact. She's like, "I don't know." She's like, "I'm going to see Silk or Shy or one of those groups." And I was like, I was like, "Come on, Gia, just go." I mean, I tried to get you to go. I was like, "Come on, come on, go."
You begged and pleaded.
Yeah, yeah.
Begged and pleaded.
She's like, "No, I'm not having it." And I was like, "All right." So I went to Sheffield. Now, at that time, like, the bands were all in, they were split into two hotels. And it was literally like back and forth. Back and forth. I hooked up with this girl, Emma Twine. She was a Damon Butler from EYC fan. So back and forth. I met everybody in all the bands. I met them all. And it was a general consensus of, "How do you know who we are? You're an American. We've never released anything. How do you know who we are?" Mm-hmm. And I just kind of played cool. It's like, "Well, of course I know who you are, blah, 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 blah. Sign this, blah." And it was just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I was most excited to see Optimistic, who I had met in September of 94. And, you know, EYC were there. And, you know, it was great to meet Bad Boys Inc. because I like them, and Boyzone were just coming out. And it's so funny because, like, I was in the lift with Ronan Keating, Keith Duffy, and Mikey Graham, who is my love. And they were so, like, chatty. They're like, who are you? Are you a singer? Ronan was like, sing something to me. I mean, so, like, just so starting off band, like, nice and talking to them personal. And I was like, no, I just, you know, I'm friends with EYC. That's how I would kind of, like, lead it off. It's like,
right, that was your lead in.
Yeah. They're American, I'm American, I know them, that's why I'm here, blah, kind of blah. And right. So, and it was great. And I didn't really think about it, to be honest with you. You know, I was just kind of like, whatever. So then Manchester was the next day, and Gia lived, I think it was a
holiday. Like walking distance.
It was like the Holiday Inn or the Hyatt or one of those hotels. And it was literally like walking distance from Gia's house. So I called her from the hotel room, and I was like, Gia, come down to the hotel. And she said it again. No, I don't know any of these people. I don't care. I was like, Gia, I don't even care. I was like, Gia, just come down to the hotel and just come hang out. And she's like, fine. So she gets close to the hotel, and there were a sea of girls out front. And she calls up to the room and says, sorry, dude, I'm not coming up. There's too many girls out front. Okay, now this is one of the funniest parts of any story I've ever told in my life. Okay, so I come down from the room, and I walked. Okay, there was this big stairway, you know, to get up to the front of the hotel, you know, the entrance.
Mind you, I hole up in the phone box, and I don't even come out. I just stay in the phone box until, you know, word from Kedrick, mind you. Please continue.
So I came down, you know, as I'm getting out of the elevator and walking, you know, the bands are like, hey mate, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. Nice to see you, blah, blah. And I was just like, hey. So I go out to the front of the hotel, and I stand at the top of the stairs, okay? And there was a sea of girls. There had to be like 300 girls, like some ridiculous.
It was intimidating.
I literally, like, Gia was standing. You'd come out of the phone box at that point. I put my hand up with my palm facing me, and I did like a, hey, come here, right? I am not kidding. The girls in the middle parted, like the Red Sea. They moved, Gia walks up to the top of the stairs, and then they went back together. this is when another, like, Gia line came. She looks at me, and she's like, Who are you? And I was like, what? And she's like, what just happened? Who are you? And it's just like a funny thing, because they literally, like, parted like the Red Sea when I, like, put my hand up, like, come on.
Yep.
And it was the craziest thing ever. So Gia's with, okay, so we walked in, and then there was this big, like, kerfuffle. And I saw two people running into a little room. And I was like, Gia, come meet PJ and Duncan.
Come
with me. And she was just kind of like, I mean, she was really just following my lead. And I leaned my head in there, and I was like, I go, hey guys, I want you to meet my friend Gia. And so Ant pops his head out, and then Deck pops his head out, and all of a sudden Gia was just like,
I had the heart emoji face. It was game over.
Yeah. And it was just,
I love Declan Donnelly.
And it was like, it was the weirdest, like, 5 or 6 hours, however much. All the bands were in the same hotel. They were all there in the lobby, all of them. And I mean, there was at one point we were sitting at a table with, like, John from E17 and Damon. The EYC guys were like, Dave was like, oh my God, honey, how are you doing? Blah, blah. And you're just kind of like, hey, I'm okay. Where's Trey?
I totally remember that. It was nuts. I was like, where? Who? What?
You're like, Gio was like, you just left yesterday.
Yeah. Exactly. He leaves my flat for friggin' 12 hours and comes back like he's Mr. Friggin' Hollywood. It's like, how do you know all these people? Like chum. Like, how?
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was so crazy.
We were just like, we would just sit at tables with people, and people would walk by and they're like, how you doing, mate? How you doing? I mean, they didn't, a lot of them didn't know my name, but they were like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And so another funny thing was, so Boyzone were just coming out, like Love Me For A Reason was just going to come out, and they were up for the new artist, best new band on the road. And so we're sitting at a table with Stephen Gately, and I can't remember which other bands that were there, but M had the promo single for Love Me For A Reason. And I don't really know how I got away with this, but like, I said to Stephen Gately, can you have the boy sign this? He grabs the single, walks away, and 5 minutes later comes back, throws it on the table and says, here you go, all five signatures. A year later, you couldn't have even, you couldn't have done that. Okay. And so like, it's kind of winding down a little, the show's about to have, you know, the show's about to, you know, they're all about to leave. And, you know, I said to Gia, It was Sean. It was Sean McGuire. That was
Sean McGuire.
So Gia took a picture with Ant and Deck, and her face was like right here on Deck, and Ant's over here.
I basically made out with Deck without him knowing it.
So then Sean wanted to know who you were. And I was like, oh, this is my friend Gia, blah, blah, blah. And I go, you should take a picture with him. And if you could have seen Gia's face, she was like,
I recoiled.
Yeah, you did. And yeah, I was like, I kind of like said to you in a roundabout way, like, you need to do this because M loves him. And there was that light bulb moment, like, bing. And Gia was in pictures with people that she, I remember you took a picture when you took a picture with Matt from Bad Boys Inc. She, under her breath, I heard her say it. She's like, I hate you and I hate your music.
I did. I was feeling myself at that point. I was just like.
But you took pictures with everyone that you
everybody
that you needed to to. I, you know what, and here, this is the weird thing about that, because we did it to get a rise out of her.
I know.
And I was still kind of, I still didn't know everything that happened. You didn't tell me anything. So from my standpoint, everything was still cool, but this is going to get a reaction out of her. And you can continue.
So, well, then I eventually like went home back to my flat, who I shared with M. Now, M was just acting, quick little backstory. M, after the Take That tour, just started kind of pulling back on her friendship, on, you know, just some of the information about Take That and other things. Kind of like altogether just pulling back. So distancing herself. So Kedrick and I started getting closer. So this whole event, mind you, is incredibly important in our friendship. And now I return and I tell M about this whole night that, you know, Kedrick hosted, if you will. and all the, you know, the people that I met, the bands that I met, and the pictures that I took with these people, who I took pictures with, and her face, especially when I got to Sean McGuire, just like Kedrick said, I mean, she lost the color palette in her skin tone. You know, she was already white, but I mean, she was a sheet of paper white at this point. She was livid. And that just goes to show that, you know, she can't be happy. She couldn't be happy, it seemed, for anybody, because she was just so incredibly selfish and just wanted all the toys and didn't want them for anybody else but her.
And you know, and I'm sure you remember this. All this stuff was going down with her, but I remember like, I think the next day, it was the day after Manchester, you and I were going to do something. I think we were going to go to dinner or something. And she called at the 11th hour and said, I've got an extra ticket to the Princess Trust concert. Take that, Lulu EYC. And you were gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know what? Here's the thing. You had every right to do that because that was amazing. And see, that was the weird thing looking back on it. It's like she was kind of girl with you about seeing all these bands, but at the end of the day, I think she did it as a dig to me because she only had one extra.
See, I was a pawn. It's like she was like using me as a pawn and her little, like, who has more pull here? You have all these bands, you know, basically you own Smash Hits Roadshow, Kedrick. Well, here, I've got the Princess Trust. So, you know, and now that talking about it, it's like, I was just like a pawn in that, you know, not mine and your thing, but just like on her thing. And I fell for it hook, line, and sinker. And I'm the idiot for that.
It's all good. Look at us now.
Okay.
So that was the
end of the night. We were kids. So we were all kids.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I was 23. So
I was 21.
Yeah.
I was 21.
So that was our 94. And then, but here's the thing. So, and this is kind of like a foreshadowing. When we were at the hotel in Manchester, there were these group of girls and they all had these jackets on. And I just assumed that they were a band because they kind of looked like a band. So I didn't, they scared me because they were kind of like very tough and just very East London. And I don't even think I talked to them at all because they scared me. So
you introduced me to them though.
No, I did not. I don't think I
did. Yes, you did. You totally introduced me to them. You did. Yes.
Well, I don't even remember talking to them.
You did. Here they are. This is this and that. And, you know, please get to know them. They're lovely. And while they were intimidating to everybody else, they were very warm and friendly to you and I. And they were just like, sit. And I ended up sitting at their table for the rest of the night. After all of that famous people thing, I just chatted with them for the rest of the night. Got C's phone number.
You what?
And address.
Hmm. Wow. Yeah, I don't remember that, but okay. I believe you.
Hey, this is Steve and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist? Hey, this is Brent from Probe 7 and you're listening to Is This Your Playlist?
So then 1995 comes and it was Rob left. Mm. And so TT was down to a four piece and for whatever reason Back for Good, I remember the first time I heard it in America, I thought I was going to crash the car that I had because I was like, what? Because they'd never done well at all. So Back for Good came out. And so they did the big Nobody Else tour in England. And then they were going to come to L, or, you know, they were going to come to the States. And somebody had a contact at Arista. Was it you?
Yeah. That's when I was working at Warner Brothers. So I just used my sort of pull at Warner Brothers and called, was it Arista or RCA?
It was Arista.
Yeah. And I just called the promotions department and spoke with the girl there and just said, you know, give me everything and anything that you have on, take that. And so she gave me their entire schedule. She said, this is where they're going to be, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I need to be there. And she said, okay. And I said, not just me, my friend Kedrick. And she said, okay. So.
And
we had our week planned.
And that was the nail in the coffin, and also like the beginning, like the nail in the good part of the coffin of our friendship, because
the good part of the coffin.
It was nobody was right in this situation, I feel, but M was very, the minute you find out anything, you let us know, and we'll do the same. And
correct.
By that point, there was already cracks starting to show, and I wasn't going to run to give information, because I think at that point you had told me,
about how bad. Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I wasn't ready to whatever. So she told us she didn't know anything. We told her we didn't know anything. Okay. So then there was this place called Cicada Restaurant. And we walk in.
It was their listening party.
It was a listening party, yes. We walk in, G and I. We see Take That. And then here's Y, L, and M. And the tension was palpable. And why was she was kind of neutral, I feel. She could, I'm saying, M was very like, and then L was always like, She did this whole like Stepford thing. I remember she did. She's like, oh my God, we all should just get along, right? I was just like,
exactly.
You know,
totally. That's exactly how she was. And everything's okay.
Yeah, everything's cool. Blah. And it's like, and here's the thing. Maybe we should have told her, but she didn't tell us either. So, but that's for me and Gia, that was the glue. And because we were basically exercised from that, from all of it after that. But here's the funny thing. Somebody didn't show up at the radio station that we went to. Four people in 1995, four people at a radio station when Take That were there. And they were so awesome. And I went into the booth with them, and we called my friend Austin on the radio. And he didn't believe it was them. He was like, he almost hung up. And I was like, Austin, I was like, I'm in the booth with Take That at Star 98.7. He's like, no, you're not. And then Gary said something, and he was quiet. And then he knew. And I was like, Mark was like something like, this guy knows everybody about me. He knows everybody. Yeah. He's worldwide or whatever. And it was so cool. And there was literally four of us. I mean, we got pictures and with each of them and all of them and stuff signed. And we were all in the booth. And it was so good, because you know what? That was ours.
It was totally ours.
Just us.
It was just us. I froze. I remember Howard looking at me like, are you going to say anything? Are you going to, because they said, does anybody, okay, let's open it up to you, the people in the thing, like who wants to ask a question? And you asked a question. I feel like the other guy asked a question. And then Howard looked at me like, how about you? And I was like, like completely clammed up. I was like, I'm just happy to be here. So,
right. It was awesome. And you know what? I remember them saying that they were going to come back and do club shows. Mm-hmm. And they never did. They never did. And then, you know, February 96, they announced that they were, How Deep Is Your Love was the last single. And Greatest Hits was the last album. And that was it. And it was stressful when they split up. But before that, you know, we jaunted over to England in November of 1995, and we were gonna go to the Smashes Roadshow in Sheffield because Ant and Dec were performing, and it was the only one they were gonna perform at. So we went because Gia loved Dec, and all the bands were still there. EYC, Deuce. You know, I mean, it was like 94 all over again, but just a year later. Mm. And like I said, Boyzone, like 95, they couldn't even be bothered to talk to people. It was such a change from the year before. And this was another thing, and I'm sure I told you this, but so Backstreet Boys were just coming out over there. That, you know, they were up for the best new band on the road. So We've Got It Going On was just coming out, and I had bought a promo CD single of it here, and I took it over there. So I'm in the hotel in Sheffield, and you know, my back is to the front door, and all I hear is, Kedrick, what are you doing here? And I turned around, and it was Randy, who was Joe McIntyre's bodyguard, Randy.
Oh, and I'm what? Like,
yes. And I turned around and I was like, how do you know my name? And he was like, you're around Joe all the time and I know your name. You could have punched me in the face when I heard, Kedrick, what are you doing here? And I turned around and I was like,
oh my God.
And then of course the Backstreet Boys were coming over and they're like, oh, how do you know? Who's this guy? How do you know him? Oh, he followed New Kids on the Block. Blah, blah.
Oh my God. No, I don't know that I knew that. Oh, really? I don't know that I knew that. That was
unbelievable. Mega. That was mega. Mm-hmm. And so 95 Smash Hits, it was different because, okay, so Ann Deck weren't even at like the hotels or anything, but you had met a girl.
Oh yeah. Summer, yeah. So. When I lived in England, yeah, I met like a girl, a fan. She was also an Ant and Dec fan, and then she just ended up being kind of nutty. And she said, you know, whenever you come back, she lived in Sheffield, and she said, you know, whenever you come back to England, you can always stay. And so I had, you know, made plans, you know, for Kedrick and I to stay with her. And of course, you know, when Kedrick and I had a very fun plane ride out there. And then, do you even remember that? You sat in the center and we sat next to a British guy. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? It was fun. Anywho, but whenever we arrived, and the girl was a no-show, a freaking no-show, which I was kind of not entirely surprised. Kedrick had a complete and total meltdown. I mean, crouched down, hands over top of head, like, what are we gonna do? And I just immediately thought, okay, well, plan B. I pulled out my file of facts and called the girls that we met, C and E, and they lived in, you know, not far from Putney,
Roehampton. I guess.
And I just said, hey, girl, hey, you know what? It's Gia from LA and Kedrick and I are in town and I just got stewed up. So I need a place to stay. And she said, well, where are you? Cause we're coming to get you. You're staying with us. And those were our digs for the week.
Those were our digs for the next years.
Couple of years. Several years. Yeah.
That was, I mean, that blew my mind that they were so forthcoming because, I mean, you know, you were there with me. I was, we're going to have to come back. I mean, what else were we going to do? We didn't have a lot of money for a hotel. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to go back.
Right.
And it all worked out.
Yes, it did.
It all worked out. And we went to the show that they played at. And I don't know. Ian from Optimistic gave us his family's tickets because there was two extra tickets. And I remember they're supposed to sing three songs. They only got one song. I was pissed about that. But you know, we were at the hotels and I remember like that was the year that like Trey from UIC was drinking a lot. Like I feel like if his mother knew what was going on, she would have flown over there and like snatched him back and took him home. He was really and I remember them, you know, they were supposed to do okay, and so then they were gonna, there was the PJ and Duncan tour, and it was PJ and Duncan headlining, EYC, Deuce, Gemini, TSD, and
your memory.
PJ and Duncan, EYC, Deuce, Gemini, and TSD. And there's one more, but I can't remember who it was. So EYC had put out in the beginning, and it was the best song on their album that was going to come out. And I remember them, I was in the hotel with them, and they said, if this doesn't hit, we're going home. And it like entered the charts at 41, and they were at the hotel, and I remember it like it was yesterday. They were saying goodbye to people, and it wasn't that goodbye, see you again soon. It was like, goodbye, we're out.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't do the tour, and they were really the draw for me to go to that tour. And so I was seeing a guy named Kevin at the time, and he was gorgeous, but a lot of work. And aww. So he had some sort of like emergency or whatever. So I literally left, two days before I was supposed to come back. Now, so PJ and Duncan were playing the Royal Albert Hall. And I told Gia, I was like, I'm going home. I paid money to go home early to see this guy because he was having some sort of whatever. And she begged me. She's like, don't go. Just stay another day. Stay one more day. And I was like, no, I got to go. I got to go. Got to go.
This is so unlike Kedrick, by the way. Like, this is, even then, I mean, that would never happen today, I feel. But, like, then even it's just like unheard of. I don't know. He had something over you, obviously, for you. And because I remember like we were like out in the street, I feel like kind of having that conversation. And you were just like, it like pained you to have come to that conversation, to that decision. But it is what it is. It happens.
And so I left 2 days before I was supposed to leave, and the show was going to be the last night that we were there. And so then Gia calls me the day after the show, and I was like, so how was it? And she goes, so we get there, and they had like two options for tickets. She said they had these certain seats that were like way up at the top or whatever for like, I'll just say like 30 pounds. And then
no. It was like 10 pounds. And then
So then she's okay. So we'll say 10 pounds for the ones up top. And I think the one she's like, but you can pay like 2 pounds or 5 pounds extra and you can be in the front. Oh, it was what?
1 pound extra. 1 pound extra, and you could be in the front row. And I went, I'll pay the extra pound, okay. And then whenever I went to my seat, wherever I was sitting, I actually was able to just boost myself up on the stage. So I ended up just sitting on the stage the entire show. I'm not joking. I've been on stage at Royal Albert Hall, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
And I said, well, who filled in for EYC? And she goes, Backstreet Boys. I was like, God bless. And she goes, Deuce was on forever. She's like, I just put my head on the stage. She's like, they sang so many songs. I was like, ah. But then you said, and Deck came out and it was just so worth it. And I was like, yeah. And you weren't doing that to like dig the knife in, but you were like, dude, you should have stayed, dude. And I remember like, I was so mad at myself. Yeah, I was 24 and I don't know what I was thinking because like, no, that wouldn't happen now. I've been like, no.
Yeah, I know.
So 95 was 95 was a good year, and it just was like, it was so. Oh, and I remember in Smash It's roadshow, there was the group the black guys, Emanate. They were so cool. Emanate, I love them. Everybody was cool. Oh, good.
Well, I was just going to say Details, and I ended up staying in touch, and he ended up coming out here, or coming, because I'm in LA, you realize. He ended up going out to LA and hooking up with me, but like in a friend way. Like I joined him, and he was staying at a hotel, and we went on the coolest, he like won a prize or something, and it flew him out here. And we went on the coolest tour. It was like the Hollywood Death Tour or something. And it was like a 3-hour tour in a hearse. And we just had like the best like couple of days together. It was not anything like sexual. We just had a laugh and we like ate food and just did all kinds of like fun touristy things. It was really cool. And then whenever I went back to England, like later that year or summer, I met up with him and C and E and we all, and John and his boyfriend, and we all like just hung out for the day and did like touristy things in London. So I ended up having like a friendship with him for a minute. It's cool.
Here's the thing with those groups, like it's never gonna, there will never be anything like that. You know, Smash Hits was the pop music Bible. There will never be these road shows because people are so like, it's so quick. Like, I mean, they don't even have time to cultivate acts now. It's just like, they're just like here and there. And those 2 years were like so much fun for me and my music, like my music life. It was, you know, we still joke about 1994 because like, you know, you said that that was the first time with me that you had seen that, like, I'm just like, I command.
Yes.
I mean, this thing, I'm running this show, but I'm not even like over the top about it. And I'm cool as cucumbers around them. Like Manchester was overwhelming because they were all there. I mean, like I couldn't kind of get away from them. It was like, they were all there, but it was just so amazing. And it was amazing for me to kind of like, see myself like that, just cool as cucumbers. I mean, I took pictures with everybody. I mean, I was fanboying out with everybody, but it was like, they were so, it was just so, I think everybody was so, like, they were kind of taken aback. Like, I'm not sure what's happening here, but like, it would, like, that was my time to shine. And that was, I kind of like, did above my body look down and
out of body experience.
Yeah. And it was just like, that would never happen again. And yeah, I mean, I'm just, it is kind of cool. I don't know if I told you this, cause you know, we're, this is coming to a 2 hour end.
Winding down.
In Risa's absence, you know, she said, you know, just keep the creative thing going. So I just kind of have been really just not even really too hard to, you know, have, I don't want to say interviews anymore, but I want to say chats. I mean, I did an interview with Craig from Deuce. I did an interview with Tom from North and South. And, you know, in the next month, I've got Monday, actually, Matthew from Bad Boys, Inc., David from Scooch, and Damon Sharp from Guys Next Door. Just off the power of just, I mean, I met Matthew in 1994. And that was it. I mean, and he's going to come on and he's going to talk about, because it's like, it's sort of like this, like 25 years later kind of thing. That's how I'm like gauging it. It's like,
yeah,
what are they doing 25 years later after their albums come out? And I mean, Damon Sharp is one of the biggest record producers in the world. And he's going to come
and talk with
podcast with me because, you know, we followed the Guys Next Door for a year. And
yeah.
I'm just, you know what? Here's the thing. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful that I have given myself this, something in my head is just like finally saying to myself, you're good enough to do this. And yeah. I don't know where it's going to go, but like, it's just like such a, and you know, and you, you know, when I say that you're my biggest fan and I'm your biggest fan, you have always been my loudest cheerleader. Like, dude, you can do this. Dude, you need to do this. Dude, this is your calling. And I think somewhere it clicked. I mean, the fact that this is episode 62, I mean, I look at other podcasts and it's like, you know, some of them have been going for 15 years and they've got like hundreds. But like for me, 62 is huge. That's 62 episodes that I have produced.
Right.
You know, and I'm just like seriously grateful for everything in my life. And, you know, I've had a good life. I've had a lot of good stuff happen. You know, I do want to write a book, but I start to overwhelm myself. So I'm just kind of like, like the fact that I'm seeing you right now, I haven't seen you in, you know, probably, I don't know, it's probably been 20.
I can't believe it's been that long. It can't have been.
When was Catherine's wedding?
2008, was it?
And you.
It was earlier. And was it 2007?
Did you move? When did you move back to your mom's?
I moved here in 2003.
Yep. So 18 years I haven't seen you until right now.
Ugh. Well, I'm coming back. I'm coming back home.
Coming back. Actually you're gonna come back because we got another episode. Oh, did I not tell you? Oh.
We've been recording for 14 hours.
but did I not tell you that we have another episode coming? Not tonight, but remember we kind of talked about a freestyle one?
Yes.
So after your birthday, boom, we're doing
it. March 2nd, send gifts. March 2nd, send me gifts. I'm into that. That's gonna be fun.
Yeah.
Very 14 years old Gia.
And this is the thing, I've known you for a long time and I would have never guessed, because when I knew you, it was take that. That's it.
I get and, like that, don't I? I'm very tunnel vision. I'm like, I only like take that. Kedrick, you have the ability to like everything simultaneously. give it to me. I am like, really? I just like apples.
Like, that's you do not like oranges. No,
I mean, I cannot like oranges.
Trust me, I wish that I could turn it off because it is a little bit like, it's a bit much sometimes, but it's so cool to me. So, that being said, I want to just thank you, Gia, for you know, spending your Friday night to Thursday night. Wait, is it Thursday or Friday?
It's Thursday.
Okay, see, I don't know what day it is anymore. This new job is like,
it doesn't matter. This is an amazing
Thank you for coming out and doing this with me. It was beautiful.
Oh, special, so much fun.
And everything else. And and happy birthday for March 2nd. And I love you more than I can't even, I just can't tell you how much.
Oh, Kendrick.
And I'm so grateful that, you know, something beautiful came out of the ashes of something bad.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and you know, like, there's stuff going on with, you know, the girls.
Yeah.
And, I go through phases where I'm just, I think I'm still in some sort of, like, grief, five stages of grief, because I go through where I'm just like, you know, F you, how could you do that to me? And then it's like, but I want you guys back. And friendships to me have always been really special. And when they end, it's like, I take it very hard. And, but you've always been there, even though there's been a few times that I've just been, I've been a butthead to you, and you've always been there for me, and I love you. And I don't want to cry my makeup off, so.
Oh, my love. No, Kedrick, listen, I love you, and you have had a life. You have had, like a cat, you've had so many lives, and you're so interesting, and you have so many levels to you, and you're so creative and so talented and so gifted and so intense. You are intense, boy. But I love that about you, and I love everything about you. And I love that you're doing this, because you know that I've always been your fan, and I've always known that you have this in you. I know that you have more in you. We'll talk about that later, but I've big plans for you. I feel like I've always had big plans for you.
You can get 20%.
No. But you have so much, you have so much knowledge, and I'm just in awe of you. I'm in awe of you, and just from where you've been and where you've come, and just watching you is just, you're inspirational for sure. You are.
Thanks, babe.
You're magical. You're magic.
Could it be magic? Could it be magic? Could it be magic? Yes.
No. Oh my God.
All right. Well, I'm gonna let you go. I love you very much. Listeners, playlisters, you know, let's thank Gia for coming, and I'll put a clap track in here. It has been a pleasure having you. If you like what you've listened to, you know, you can like or subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can email me at itYP2020@gmail.com, and you can also listen out for my baby podcast. It's called WOM World of Music, and it's a Spotify original. It's only on Spotify, and there's six episodes in, and like, if you have a Spotify premium account, you can hear the whole song. And I'm so glad that I got Gia an account, because yesterday she called me on the phone, and she's like, she goes, there's one of the songs says it's just dead air. And I didn't, you know, here's the thing. I guess I need to start listening to them before I send them off. But I just pretty much do the vocals, edit those, drop the songs in, and send it off. So I'm so glad that you saw that. Because I listened to it in the car, and it stressed me out a little bit. But I just basically unpublished it, went back in, like, took how much more from another place, and I guess it's in. So
yeah, so it was perfect this morning.
I appreciate that from you. And happy birthday to Gia. And we will see you again after your birthday, because we're gonna do freestyle, baby.
Yes. Okay. It'll be so much fun. Thank you for having me. This has been fun.
Thank you for coming. And thank you everybody for listening. And I will see you soon. And you know, once again, my name's Kedrick, and this is your playlist. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for tuning in tonight to Is This Your Playlist? If you are tuning in for the first time and like what you've heard, please like and subscribe. We can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many more. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please join Kedrick and Rissa next time for more fun facts and witty banter. My name is Joey. Thank you, and good night.